Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 93rd episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is entitled Growing Pains, original air date February 28, 1998. We start with a little girl who looks to be about 13 years old walking through a dark alley. She's just like a regular kid with short black hair wearing a red jacket. She runs and some punk bikers notice her. So it's like these dudes, they look like the freaking, like the mad street gang or whatever the guys are called from Final Fight. They have mohawks, tattoos, big bulky dudes and bikes. And these adult bikers decide that they want to rape this kid, because that's a good way to start an episode, attempted rape. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. It's adult men, it's like five of them, they're riding motorcycles, and this is like a 13-year-old girl. She obviously won't have much money, if any, for them to rob her, so it's obvious what they want to do. And the leader of the gang, even the Mad Gear gang, that's what I'm thinking of, and even the leader sells her like, isn't it past your bedtime there, cutie? Like, dude, let's relax here. So the bikers surround her with their bikes, and then Robin shows up to save the day. And we actually get a really cool kick-ass scene where Robin taking out the bikers by throwing, like, pieces of lumber at them and, like, kicking them in their faces and such. It's like, I don't know, I thought it was pretty cool. The other Robin, Dick Grayson Robin, didn't get many of those moments. He got quite a few. I remember when he kicked that dude through two freaking car doors. That was awesome. So this Robin gets like a early action scene right away, because it's like his third appearance. It's actually pretty cool. The little girl runs away, but stops when she sees a police car pull up. She seems mesmerized by the siren lights. Robin reaches her and asks her if she's in trouble with the cops, but she can't remember. She can't remember anything, actually. She just knows that she has to keep moving. She runs away, but Robin stops when he sees the bat signal, and then he just leaves. At Gordon's office, Batman and Gordon see a security video of this huge man ripping a cash register in half with his bare hands. Gordon thinks that this guy's strength might be chemically induced, so think along the lines of Bane. Because this huge dude, he looks awesome too. I really like how he looks. He has slicked back hair, he's wearing a black shirt. He has a scar going down one eye. He looks like a really, really beefed up version of the Sandman from ECW. I think he looks really cool. Batman and Gordon don't recognize the face of this guy. And Robin is there, but he's lost in his own little world of puppy love.
He's not in any of our files.
He's a stranger to me, too.
Look at those eyes. How does someone get a face like that?
Luck.
What?
Sorry. I was thinking about a girl.
Teenagers. Glad my Barbara's passed her wild years.
So after Gordon says that line about Barbara leaving her wild days behind, Batman looks at him and he says, "Well, Gordon, I had sex with her on the rooftop and impregnated her, causing her to have a miscarriage, so you're wrong about her wild days being over." Whoa, Batman! Why would you say that? That's a mean thing to say about a dude's daughter. Whoa! They should have had Robin show up and be like, "Whoa, S my D, Batman, relax." It's so weird that he said that, but he said it. It's all true. It's in the episode. Just don't go back and check. Just take my word for it. It's right there in the episode. And you know what? I was going to play the sound clip for you, but I think that my words are enough proof of that actually happening. So Batman and Robin are on patrol, and Robin keeps talking about the girl, and Batman seems angry, and he tells Robin to keep his mind clear. He's like, "One mistake could be enough in our line of work. Besides, I'm the only person that should be having sex with teenagers in our team." Whoa, Batman! Whoa, what's happening here? This is weird. So Robin catches up to the girl. No, that's not what happened. Sorry, I'm having a great time here. All right, Alfred, this is what happens. Alfred is driving Tim Drake back home when Tim sees that girl at the bus station. Tim puts on his Robin costume and runs off as Alfred calls Bruce to let him know what's happening. Now Robin catches up to the girl, but she runs away. She almost gets hit by a bus, but Robin saves her, and Robin and the girl have a small talk.
It's okay. Why do you keep running from me? It's the mask, isn't it?
It's not you. I have to keep moving. There's a man after me.
Who?
I don't know, but he's always there. He's even in my nightmares.
Don't worry, I'll help you. What's your name?
I can't even remember that.
That's okay, we'll improvise. How about Annie?
Okay.
So Robin looks around, trying to think of something to name this girl. And he sees things like a park bench and a bus. So I'm thinking he's going to name her like a bus, blue bus or something. But he sees a little girl with a Raggedy Ann doll, so he names her Annie. Annie senses that the man that she's afraid of is nearby. She points at a dark alley, and it gets lit up by the bus lights, and he's there. And it's actually really cool the way it looks. So this enormous, huge man appears.
Do you know how long I've been looking for you? You were supposed to come right back.
Who are you? What do you want?
I'm her father, punk. Stay out of it!
Oh, I don't think so.
I said, out of my way!
So yeah, it's that huge man from the security videos. The man destroys a cement bench with a kick. And then he beats the ever-loving crap out of Robin. I mean, this is like this enormous, like, freaking 7-foot-tall man. Like the size of a mountain. He is huge. And he just destroys this little kid. Like, Robin's punching him and has no effect on him. He even gets him in a master lock at one point. But Batman shows up. So as soon as this man sees Batman, he runs away. Batman and Robin chase after him, but they lose him in a tunnel somehow. Batman and Robin split up, and Robin finds that the guy's on the top floor of a parking structure. Robin chases after him, and the man jumps off the top floor onto the pavement below and doesn't seem fazed. He just keeps running. And there must be a problem with the animation here, because when he jumps off and he lands, he kind of like squishes down like really weird, like if he was made out of like some sort of putty-like material. I'm sure that's an animation error. That's what I really think is happening there. So he jumps down to the lower level. He's running away. Batman finds him. He runs after him. So Robin sees that the man is running into another tunnel and decides to cut him off at the other end. Batman and Robin meet in the middle, but the man is gone. Robin sees a sewer grate, and he can't lift it. It's too heavy. But Batman doesn't even bother because the grate is too small for a man that size to fit through. Robin remembers that he left Annie alone and runs back to her, but she's gone. She's just, like, gone. Batman finds some mud on the broken cement bench and takes it to analyze. Robin wants to go look for Annie, but Batman doesn't give a crap, and he's just gonna go analyze the dirt. And Robin gets in Batman's face, and we get a pretty awesome scene here. I really like Batman's delivery of one line, specifically.
I'm going after her.
No, we're going home.
But this guy's bad news, and she's out there all alone.
Searching aimlessly won't help her. Be patient.
No!
What?
I'm not waiting around while you study dirt. If you're not gonna help me, I'll find her myself.
So I love it when Robin's like, I'm not gonna sit around while you study dirt. And Batman's just like, what? That's pretty hilarious. Sorry, I got distracted here. So Robin goes looking for Annie all over Gotham, and he finds a bunch of homeless people and feels bad for all the homeless kids. Robin walks by a movie premiere for a movie called Kane. Kane? So this could either be a tribute to Batman co-creator Bob Kane, or it could be that there's a biopic about WWE's Kane. The man went from wrestler to mayoral candidate, so it's something. Annie is there on the street, and she just... So Robin's just walking on the sidewalk, and then Annie's just there. So that was weird. Yeah, so she goes over and talks to him.
You shouldn't be trying so hard to help me. He'll hurt you too.
I can handle him.
What makes you so sure?
I know his type. My dad wasn't much of a prize either.
So that's why you care. You're the only person I can remember who ever did.
Yeah, but you don't remember anything.
Robin gets his first kiss, and it's adorable. Annie sees the spotlights on the movie premiere, and she seems mesmerized again. She says that she remembers lights in an uneven floor, but the lights were in a tower high up in the air. So Robin thinks he knows where that is at, and he takes her to a lighthouse. Annie says that she knows this place. She remembers, like, these really huge pipes coming from what I'm sure is Ace Chemicals, because I always get confused. I don't know if the cartoon is Ace Chemicals or Axis Chemicals. It's the same thing. But either way, this pipe's coming out of this huge chemical factory, and she remembers them. We go back to Batman, who's in the Batcave analyzing the mud. Alfred and Batman talk. Alfred gives Batman a talk about how he's treating Tim like a little kid. And, okay, Batman doesn't have much to do in this episode, but I love his expressions during the whole thing, because anytime somebody mentions anything to him, he gives them that, like, damn it, I've heard this all before, you know, like, type of look, like, just like, like, he growls. It's pretty funny. And he has gone through all this. He had Dick Grayson. So the mud is analyzed, and Batman is shocked to see the results. He jumps into the Batmobile, and Alfred asks him what's wrong. And Batman says this hilarious line.
Oh my God. What is it? I know who Daddy is.
Okay, I know it's supposed to be a serious scene, but Batman saying, I know who Daddy is. It's pretty hilarious. The only thing funnier would have been if Batman said, you are not the father. And then, like, this whole Maury thing. But I know who Daddy is. It's always going to be funny to me. Robin and Annie are walking inside the sewer pipes when they run into the giant man again. He walks toward them, and he starts to melt. So he slowly starts turning to mud, and we see that this giant man is actually Clayface. Whoa, we haven't seen Clayface in a while. Well, no. Actually, he returned in the short for the Holiday Nights episode. If you remember, Holiday Nights was the first episode of the new Batman Adventures, the redesign era, as I like to call it. That is what the season we're reviewing now. So in that first episode, Clayface showed up without any explanation as to how he survived after Batman killed him by dumping him in the ocean that one time. But we're actually going to get that explanation later on, so that's pretty cool. So yeah, Clayface, dude, I remember watching this as a kid, and that caught me by surprise. I did not expect that at all. Annie and Robin run and evade Clayface's attacks as he tries to kill them, and it's pretty cool. Anytime you have Clayface on and you have good animation, it's always really good for a visual. He throws like a giant, like, avalanche of bricks and clay at them that covers the entire pipeline, and it's really cool. Clayface makes like a barrier out of his he could turn his clay into metal sometimes, which is weird. So he makes like a cell, but Robin breaks it with a karate chop, and then some of the mud from Clayface falls onto Annie. So they keep running away, and they manage to get into the chemical plant. As they hide, something starts happening to Annie. The mud from Clayface that fell on her starts to absorb into her. And that's when she realizes the truth of who she is.
You okay?
I understand now.
Good, because I'm lost. What do you have to do with Clayface?
I am Clayface. I remember now. Clayface had washed out to sea. He couldn't hold his form anymore. He drifted near those pipes, and something in the chemicals made him whole again. But he wasn't strong yet, and he didn't know where he was. So he created me, and sent me off to find out if it was safe. I was supposed to look around and then come back, but when I walked away from him, I forgot. Now he wants to take me back.
I won't let him. Don't worry. I'll save you.
Save what? Don't you see? I'm not real.
Yes, you are.
No, she's not.
Clayface corners Annie and Robin. But Robin gives enough room for Annie to be able to run away. Clayface beats up Robin, like, bad. Like, seriously. He has, like, arms growing out of his chest plus his regular arms. And he's just beating the crap out of Robin. He is going to kill them. He is literally going to kill Robin. And Annie sees this and runs back. She tackles Clayface and they roll around. Clayface begins absorbing Annie in a disgusting melding of bodies. If you've seen the episode Feet of Clay, the very first appearance of Clayface, part 2, not part 1, part 2, there's that really beautifully animated, awesome ending scene where it's like this body horror of Clayface morphing into different things. They do this again. You see the little girl like struggling to free herself, and Clayface's body is all disgusting. His teeth are coming apart, and he's absorbing this girl. Batman shows up to see Clayface completely absorb her and in turn killing her. Robin loses his crap. He throws a batarang at Clayface, and Clayface creates a metal plate on his chest. And the batarang bounces off and hits a silo full of chemical solvent. The solvent... there's a hole burst in the silo, and the solvent hits Clayface's leg, and it starts to dissolve him. Robin is intense, so he throws another batarang at the silo, making more holes and dissolving Clayface. Clayface is cornered, and Robin is about to kill him. Robin is literally about to throw a batarang that will completely dissolve and kill Clayface when Batman stops him. Clayface forms metal knife arms, like the T-1000 from Terminator, and he starts swinging wildly like some sort of crazed octopus. I'm telling you, anytime you have Clayface, you have a chance for amazing visuals, and this episode does not disappoint. Clayface at this point is like a disgusting blob of tentacles and teeth and stuff. It looks really cool. He's swinging around wildly, and the metal arms are hitting the metal grates, causing sparks. This causes a fire, and Batman grabs Robin. He carries him to safety as the building explodes, knocking Clayface unconscious. Batman and Robin stand outside as they watch the police take Clayface away in a huge containment unit. It looks like a spa type of thing. It's like a water tank, and it has Clayface inside. This part just breaks my heart. Batman gives Robin one of the harshest life lessons anyone will ever learn.
Sometimes there are no happy endings.
A cop walks up to Gordon and asks him, "So we got him booked on the robbery and the breaking and entry. Should we add any other charge?" Robin looks at the cop and says, "Yeah, murder." And then walks away slowly as we fade to black. The end. Holy hell, man. Dude, that is a bummer of an ending. Clayface killed a little girl. I mean, granted, she was part of him, but she had, like, become her own conscience. It's like a whole freaking thing questioning you of what a soul means and what it means to be an individual. And then you got like freaking kiddie romance ending in tragedy. Robin learned all about falling in love and losing a loved one all in the same day. Man, it is intense. No cartoon should be making you freaking think about these things when you're a kid watching them. Yet this one does. I love this episode. It is so good. Some of the after show notes, there's not really anything here. This, as far as I know, isn't based on a story from the comics or a movie or anything. Clayface in this episode, he reminds me a lot of the Spider-Man villain, the Sandman, in the way his appearance looks when he is, like, supposed to be a regular human with the slicked back hair and the... He looks a lot like Sandman. I think it's actually really cool. Annie is 100% based in appearance on Natalie Portman's character of Matilda from the 1994 French film Leon the Professional, starring Jean Reno. And holy hell, if you have not seen that movie, then you really need to. That movie is awesome. It's kind of uncomfortable because Natalie Portman in this movie is about the same age as the little girl from this. So she's about 12, 13 years old. And there's some uncomfortable scenes where she gets sexualized. I don't mean like she has sex or gets raped, but they sexualize her character a bit. And it's kind of uncomfortable because seeing a little kid trying to act like a sexy adult woman, it's not... It's uncomfortable. That's the only word I could use, but the movie is really good. And if you want to see future Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman, act like a completely drugged out freaking cokehead, this is your movie. The whole movie is just good. So I really recommend Leon. So I believe it's called Leon the Professional everywhere else, but in the U.S. it's just called The Professional. But it's a really good movie. I totally recommend it. And you know what? This episode really made me like Robin. He isn't whiny. He isn't like Dick Grayson, who was just like, but Batman! Like, this guy, like, he gets in Batman's face and he does things. And I really like that. I don't like him just whining about it and then going to whine about it to Alfred and not doing anything. So I thought that this was a great, great episode to showcase this new Robin. So what do I think of this episode? Why don't we find out in the Batcave Archives?
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody. The Batcave Archives is the part of the show where I rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. If you want to see the full list, you can join us on the Facebook group. Look for I'm Batman the Podcast, where I update the list regularly, and you can see the entire rankings from there. If you want to know, number one is the episode Almost Got 'Em. That is the episode where all the villains play poker and tell their best Batman stories. And at number 92 at the moment, we have The Terrible Trio, which is the episode where three rich kids put on masks and Batman has a hard time solving that for some reason. But, I love this episode. It is one of my favorites. As I said, I remember watching this as a kid, and like I was seriously shocked at the Clayface revelation. That got me by surprise. As I said, maybe as a kid you shouldn't be thinking about love and death and individuality and spirituality, but this episode does all that. I really like Robin in this. He's not annoying at any point. I like Annie. She's a cool character. This girl who seems so innocent, yet she's caught up in something she doesn't understand. They make Clayface into a mysterious character here. Not knowing who he is really adds to it. And I love Batman just doing this grumpy old man scowl all the time. It's a really good episode. I would probably rank this, if not in the top 10, very near the top 10. So let's look at what we have here on the top 10. We have, this is not going to be number one, I'll tell you that much right now. At number two, though, we have The Man Who Killed Batman. That's the episode with Sid the Squid where that bumbling fool almost kills Batman. And I like that one a lot. Really good storytelling and character development. Beware the Great Ghost, that's just a classic with Adam West as Batman's childhood hero. The Silicon Soul, it's another really good one. So it seems like the rest of the list, so from number 5 and down, number 5 to 10, they all seem to be very sentimental type episodes. Robin's Reckoning, the origin of the original Robin, that episode is so good and heartfelt. Heart of Ice, that many people consider to be the best episode of the series, with Mr. Freeze and the love he has for his wife and being a man with frozen feelings. Two-Face Part 1, Harvey Dent, a man with all the bright future ahead of him being broken down by the Mafia. A Double Talk, that was the episode from last week with the ventriloquist, who is this man who's trying to live a normal life, but he has to literally fight his own inner demon. He literally had to kill his own inner demon to be cured. Trial is probably the only one that's not really like a sentimental type thing. It's a goofy episode, but it has all the villains teaming up to try to kill Batman in Arkham Asylum. We don't get much of Arkham Asylum as far as the inside of it goes in this series, so that was really cool. Really cool setting. Really superhero comic book story with all these villains teaming up, not being able to defeat Batman. But it's a really fun episode. Number 10, we have Read My Lips. That was the first appearance of Ventriloquist. And I just really like the Ventriloquist a lot. I think he's a really cool character. We got the feeble old man and the dominating puppet. It's really cool contrast there. And number 11, we have Appointment at Crime Alley. That is one of the, I would say, kind of hidden gems. Not many people think about that because it doesn't have a huge villain. It's Roland Daggett. It's basically the people against Roland Daggett. Batman helps out, but it's kind of like a community fighting back. And it is a really good episode. I think this episode is much better than that. I just really, really like the story. All the sentimentality. All the you know, as I said, finding love and losing it. Being able to find love and then losing that love can come just as easily. And I like that. I like how they're showing you that. So you know what? This might not be in the top 10, but at our new number 11, Growing Pains. Ooh boy, I sure went on a rant on that one, didn't I? But as I said, I really like this episode, so I think it should really be talked about and appreciated. Everybody, thank you for listening, and remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. And before we go, I do want to say that I still have not given the Royal Rumble contest prizes to the two winners, David Gomez and Johnny Too Sweet. I will get those to you. I'm just looking for something right. I don't want to just send you like pop figures or something that I randomly find. I want to make sure it's a price that you guys like. So you will be getting that. I just don't know when, but you will. I guarantee that. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Clayface.
And they called it puppy love. puppy love.